Before we begin today, we have a few announcements. First off, whether you're a member or a visitor today, there are some cards in the backs of our pews, and we'd like you to fill those out. Those are our ritual of friendship cards. Minister's office hours are listed in the chimes, and Wednesday there's a general board meeting. Please notice there's no work day this week. And then next Sunday is Mother's Day. And when it's Mother's Day, it means it's Mother's Day breakfast for the women of the church. And, of course, in order for the women to have breakfast, the men have to come and help out. So if you are so inclined, and we're hoping that you are, men, next Sunday, be here around 7. And breakfast officially starts at 8. So that's for Mother's Day. Men at 7, breakfast begins at 8. And women, that means on Father's Day, we, of course, will reciprocate. Are there any other announcements? Okay, Reverend Chris has one.
Good morning. I sent out an email this past week. I hope you received that and read that, and also the newsletter went out. You should have gotten that by now. But there is a change. We have been planning a hymn sing, and we're looking forward to doing that. I don't believe we've done that since the time that I've been here. It'll be for the community and as well as for the church. So we hope that you'll come to that, and we hope you'll invite your friends to that. And but because of some conflicts, scheduling conflicts with members of the choir, we want to move that to June 7th. Now, I will put that on the email, and I will make a new flyer, and we will have that next week for you to take places. But I just wanted to make you aware that June 7th, Sunday evening at 7 o'clock, we're going to have a community-wide hymn sing, and I hope that you'll mark your calendars for that. Tell your friends, invite as many people as you can. Look forward to hearing you sing and the choir as well. Thank you.
Are there any other announcements? The community comes together to serve God in worship. Our opening hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, number 6. This is My Father's World. Call to worship this morning is in your chimes. Make a joyful noise to the Lord, all the earth. Come into God's presence with singing. It is God who made us, and we are His.
We are God's people and the sheep of God's pasture.
Let us pray. As we gather for worship, we ask that you will help us to understand what Jesus, the teacher, wishes to tell us, that you will help us to experience what Jesus, the Savior, wishes to do for us, and that you will help us to follow where Jesus, the Good Shepherd, wishes to lead us. As you have taught us to pray, our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Comes together to share tithes and offerings. I have other sheep that do not belong to this fold, said Jesus. I must bring them also, and they will listen to my voice. Let us give generously so others can hear the voice of Jesus. Our offertory hymn is in the Brown Hymnal, verses 1 and 3, number 144, Wonderful Grace of Jesus. It's number 114. Everyone here? 114.
heard the voice of the Good Shepherd and have responded in faith. Receive these gifts so others may do the same. Amen.
Community proclaims the word of God. Our scripture reading this morning is in Psalms chapter 22, verses 25 through 31. That's the Old Testament, page 501 in your pew Bible. My God, why hast thou forsaken me? Why art thou so far from helping me, from the words of my groaning? O my God, I cry by day, but thou dost not answer, and by night find no rest. Yet thou art holy, enthroned on the praises of Israel. In thee our fathers trusted. They trusted, and thou didst deliver them. To thee they cried and were saved. In thee they trusted and were not disappointed. But I am a worm and no man, scorned by men and despised by the people. All who seek me mock at me. They make mouths at me, they wag their heads. He committed his cause to the Lord. Let him deliver him. Let him rescue him, for he delights in him. Yet thou art he who took me from the womb. Thou didst give me safe upon my mother's breast. Upon thee I cast my birth. And since my mother bore me, thou hast been my God. Be not far from me, for trouble is near, and there is none to help. Many bulls encompass me. Strong bulls of Bashan surround me. They open wide their mouths at me like a ravening and roaring lion. I am poured out like waters, and of my bones are out of joint. My heart is like wax. It is melted within my breast. My strength is dried up like a potsherd, and my tongue cleaves to my jaws. Thou dost lay me in the dust of my death. From thee comes my praise in the great congregation. My vows I will pray before those who fear him. The afflicted shall eat and be satisfied. Those who seek him shall praise the Lord. May your hearts live forever. Our anthem this morning is Can't You Hear by the Sanctuary Choir.
God understands that we are not strong all the time. Sometimes all we can do is rest in his arms as he takes us the next few miles. Things happen to us that breaks our hearts. Our legs may buckle under us. But we are not left lying by the side of the road like a failed runner counted out of the race. When our trust is in
Christian Church on this first Sunday of May. A beautiful day that God has given us. We gather to sing God's praises, to lift up our joys and our concerns to a Lord who hears us, understands us, answers us, and cares for us. As we gather this morning, we rejoice in all that is happening in the life of the church, and we celebrate with God those that are things that are happening in our life. And we ask God to guide us as we consider new opportunities for ministry, new challenges before us. We come together to lift up our hearts and our souls in unison to sing God's praises. We continue to pray for all those who are on our prayer list this morning, and we continue to update one another. If somebody has been on the prayer list for a while and we haven't heard from them, we do take them off, but if they continue to need prayer, please do let us know, and we will add them again. Are there any updates this morning on those who have been on our prayer list for a while, good or bad? Don? We pray for Audrey's family. Thank you for sharing that with us this morning. Sure. We pray for Jerry. I know she's been struggling with that for quite some time and hope that this will help to alleviate her pain. Tina? Wonderful news. We celebrate with her, and we pray that you'll hear from Tilly and to reestablish that connection. I also want to let you know, last week we had a great youth group meeting gathered down at East Park, and this is funny. I want to share it with you that I went there in March, and there was a lot of litter, and I thought, well, this would be a great opportunity for us to do something. And so we planned, back in March, we planned that we would do this. We would gather, and the youth group would clean up East Park. Well, it turns out, you may know this, that East Park has a cleanup day. And it turns out that it was last Saturday, the day before the youth group was scheduled to go clean up East Park. But they still found 3 garbage bags full of trash. They were diligent in their search. They actually seemed to really enjoy it. We made a contest out of it. So we just want to give thanks for our wonderful youth and for Linda, Roxanne, and Sunny for helping to organize that. It was a great day, beautiful day. It was an enjoyable time, and we give thanks for that day. Are there updates we want to share? Also, people we might want to add to our prayer list, joys and concerns to share. For Carol Pajawa, battling cancer. Thank you. Sonny? Okay, we continue to pray for his family. Sonny? I mean, Will? Rejoice over the good news and hope that it continues to come. Thank you. Heidi? You say Snook Redmond? Okay, we'll pray for him. Are there any others? Roxanne. That's wonderful news. It's good to know that when we are not united in the building, we are still united as the church through spirit and contact. Remember, please, our shut-ins, Bill and Eldon, who are both at South Connellsville Nursing Home, Harry McDowell with his daughter Connie, and Lena and Kay at their respective homes. Are there no other? Let us now take a moment of silence as we prepare to go to the Lord in prayer. Eternal God, in our searching and groping to find you, we confess that we have several idols made of gold and silver and stone. We have put our faith in things that are not worthy of our faith, such as money, institutions of brick and mortar. We have trusted weapons of war to keep us safe. We have sought after our own comfort and ease and rejected calls for sacrifice, personal and communal. Forgive us, Lord. Help us to give an accounting of the hope that is in us, the hope nurtured by our life in Christ, the hope found in your commandment of love, the hope that comes from being your children, your church, your family, abiding in your spirit. Purify our lives, O Lord, like precious silver, that our hearts may be made ready to receive all the love you offer. Burn away our fears and our instincts for revenge, that we may go through the fire and the water of our baptism, come out on the other side, abiding in your truth. In times of suffering, return us to thoughts of you and your commandment to love one another, that everything we do may be honorable and just. We pray these for ourselves as we pray them for others as well, those who are not gathered here and yet still part of your ever-widening circle of love and grace and mercy. We pray mercy and grace upon the family of Audrey Osi as she passed away. We give you thanks that she is with you now beyond pain. We pray for her husband and all her loved ones who miss her and are grieved in her loss. We pray the same for the Pace family. Continue to pray for them on the unexpected loss of Richard. We pray for their consolation and that they may know that you are with them in their grief and their sorrow. We pray for those who are struggling, who are in need of your help, and who fear for their health. We pray for Snook as he battles internal bleeding. We pray that he will receive good news and to receive healing from you, to help his doctors as they care. We pray for Carol as she battles cancer. We pray that the prognosis was premature, that she may actually have many more months to live, even years. We know that it is in your hands, and we simply pray that she will turn to you and rest in you and abide in you in all things, whether it is comfort or healing or passing on to the next life. May her soul be safe, even as her body struggles. We pray also for Tilly, and we pray that we'll receive word soon of the success or her condition. And we pray for Jerry as she awaits her procedure this coming week. May all those who are ill at ease also receive your comfort. All those who face difficult decisions, may they receive your direction. We give you thanks for the good news that has been shared, for the joys in our congregation and in our lives. We celebrate the work of all those who have taken up your yoke to continue to build your kingdom, whether it's working with children, sharing gifts of music, visiting the sick or the elderly, all the tasks that you have laid before us. And we pray, Lord, also that your spirit be with me as we try to preach your word. Help each one of us find a way in which we can share the gospel using our gifts that you have given us,
various as they are, so that one by one people may be touched by your good news. We pray these things, O Lord, knowing that you are the one who has called us into being and the one who calls us to follow and the one who will call us home. May we continue to follow you each day of our life, however long it be, to know that each day is a gift because you are in it. We celebrate as your church, we pray as your church, we mourn as your church, and together we say amen as your church. And so this morning, lift up all of our prayers, good and bad, and all that we are, knowing that you are the one to whom we may turn in all aspects of our life and each day. Amen. Children, come forward for the junior sermon. Our second scripture lesson today comes from the Gospel of John, chapter 15, verses 1 to 16. And that can be found on page 109 of the New Testament portion of the Pew Bible. Here begins the reading. Jesus said to his disciples, "I am the true vine. My Father is the vine grower. He removes every branch in me that bears no fruit. Every branch that bears fruit, he prunes it to make it bear more fruit. You have already been cleansed by the word that I have spoken to you. Abide in me as I abide in you. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me, you can do nothing. Whoever does not abide in me is thrown away like a branch and withers. Such branches are gathered, thrown into the fire, and burned. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask for whatever you wish, and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and become my disciples. As the Father has loved me, so I have loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. I have said these things to you so that my joy may be in you and that your joy may be complete. This is my commandment, that you love one another as I have loved you. No one has greater love than this, to lay down one's life for one's friends. You are my friends if you do what I command you. I do not call you servants any longer, because the servant does not know what the master is doing, but I have called you friends, because I have made known to you everything that I have heard from my Father. You did not choose me, but I choose you, and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit, and that your fruit should abide, so that whatever you ask the Father in my name, he may give it to you." The word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Within the four Gospels of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, there are a lot of stories and a lot of sayings that get repeated, that each one of them or several of them tell, maybe a slightly different way, but they tell them again. And you may begin to have a feeling as you read through the Gospels that you have been there and read that. By the time you get to the Gospel of John, the fourth Gospel, the final Gospel, you get to some news stories, some stories that John has that the other ones don't have, and it's good, because you need some news stories. I mean, no one needs to read about Jesus calming the storm for the fourth time. As Matthew, Mark, and Luke have already told you this story, each one, it begins to feel like when you go to Thanksgiving dinners and your uncle tells you that story that you have heard 1,000 times. My father-in-law tried out for Jeopardy one time. I know all about it, because I've heard that story 10 times. After a while, you want a new story. So John, which is not only the last gospel in the Bible as you're reading it, but it's also believed to be the last one written, the latest one, he draws from a lot of the same stories and traditions the other three do, but he has also a different tradition. And there's these certain stories that you only get in the Gospel of John. You have the signs, Jesus turning water into wine at the wedding of Cana. You also have what are called the I am sayings. Jesus says, "I am the bread of the world." And then he goes on to explain a bit about that. Where Jesus says, "I am the light of the world." And then he goes on to explain a bit about that. These are teachings that you only get in the Gospel of John. And today you hear, "I am the true vine." Not only is this story unique in the Gospels, it also, as Jesus goes on to explain what it means to be the true vine, it also goes on to use a word that does not appear anywhere else in the Gospel. And not only does this word appear only in this story, only in this Gospel, it appears 12 times. So I think that means that maybe we should pay attention to that word. As you read through this passage, you hear the word abide again and again.
I think it is significant. It is a word we should pay attention to. Truth is, I can't help but pay attention to it when I read this passage. Because it reminds me of one of my favorite movies, a movie called The Big Lebowski, a funny movie that was about 20 years old. And in that movie, the main character, his name is Jeff Lebowski, but everybody just calls him The Dude. He calls himself El Duderino, The Dude. And he likes to say, "The dude abides." And he uses that word again and again and again throughout the movie. And it simply means that he takes it easy, and he is cool, and he lets things come and go. He doesn't let things get under his shirt collar. Maybe the dude was influenced by this teaching of Jesus Christ from the Gospel of John. Because in this gospel story, we learn that the Lord abides. And we are called to do as he does. We are called to abide as well. And if you didn't know what the word meant before you came to this passage, you should. My professor of English, she would always tell us that if you get to a story, you get to a reading, and you find a word you don't understand, you should look it up. Now that goes for anything, but when they use the word 12 times in 12 verses, you definitely need to look that word up if you don't know what it means. Because if you don't know what the word abide means, you will have no chance of understanding this passage. You will have no chance of what it means to be the true vine. You'll have no chance of understanding what it means when Jesus says that the Lord abides, and we should too. So let's take a look. Now, you don't have dictionaries in front of you, but that's okay, because I looked it up for you. There are many definitions of the word abide. Therefore, there are many ways for us to abide in God and he in us. And I tell you, they all seem pretty appropriate to what Jesus is telling his disciples in this passage. The first definition the dictionary gives us of the word abide is to remain, continue, to stay. That's a good definition for how Christ abides in us. For the Lord abides, he remains, he continues, he stays. That was not always the belief. As we say before, throughout the Old Testament, people kept wishing that God would come. Maybe he would come for a while, but he wouldn't stay. As the disciples are following Jesus around, they keep an eye on him because they want him to be near. Remember when he goes off to pray, to rest. He woke up and they couldn't find him. The whole town hunted for him. And when the disciples found him, they were a little upset and they said, "Where have you been? Everybody has been looking for you." Well, one of the great things about Jesus Christ, after having been lifted up on the cross and then being lifted up again as he ascended into heaven, is that we know we don't have to go looking for him ever again. He is with us. Remember what he said. When that happened, the disciples thought they had lost him permanently and forever. I can't even begin to imagine the depth of despair that they felt. And then he comes back. It's hard to imagine the joy they felt. And he only stays with them for about a week, 10 days, and he leaves them again permanently. But when he does, when he ascends into heaven to be with God, they're not sad. They're not upset, because they know they are not losing him. And remember his words to them. He promises to be with them until the end of the age. And of course, we know physically he won't be. That's the whole point of the ascension. But they know that's not what he's talking about. They trust that Jesus will be with them in all places, in all times. They will not have to hunt for them as they did before. They will not have to fight to be near him as the crowds did, just to touch a hem of his garment. Because the Lord abides with them. And the Lord abides with you and with me. It's amazing. We could be two completely different places at the same time. And the Lord abides with you. And the Lord abides with me. The second definition is helpful to understand how we can abide in him. It reads, to continue in a particular condition, attitude, relationship. We who have taken Jesus Christ to be Lord and Savior will surely call upon him at our last moments. We begin our life of faith calling upon him. We end our life calling upon him. But in between, we must confess, there are times when we forget to call upon him. There are times when we
call upon other things and other people. There are times when we don't feel so near to him, but he hasn't gone anywhere. It is we who have moved away. After the fire of conversion begins to die a bit, but before the end comes in sight, we need some help in keeping our faith going. We need to learn to abide in Christ, and this is important because our lives, they are up and they are down. And we do feel so close to Christ when our life is up, when we are on the mountaintop, when the sun shines bright and glorious like it does today. And other times when we are down in the valley, in those moments, we remember, hey, I need some help. I'm going to call upon Christ now. I'm going to call upon him to be with me. But so much of our life takes place on the plateau, on the plain. So much of our life takes place in the everyday moments, in the humdrum, ho-hum time. And those moments, those are the times where we really get a chance to know what it's like to rest in him a while, to be in Christ's presence, to abide in him, rather than just bide our time. Most of our time we spend doing nothing really special. Whether or not we feel Christ's presence in those moments goes a long way to determining whether or not we will bear good fruit in our life. And bearing good fruit, that's Christ's definition of what it means to abide. That's what he uses in this story, because he says to abide in him is like being rooted. Just as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can we unless we abide in him. I am the vine and you are the branches, Jesus says. Those who abide in me and I in them bear much fruit, because apart from me you can do nothing. I chose you and appointed you that you should go and bear fruit and that your fruit should abide. It's a great metaphor. For just as the branch abides in the tree, and if it does, can bear fruit, we also should abide in the Lord. But as soon as we cut ourselves off from God, then we don't have that power anymore. We don't have that spirit. The branch bears fruit, but only because of the nourishment that it gets from the roots of the tree or the bush. I love to look at our forsythia bushes in our backyard, and they are glorious this time of year. And it is a desire then to have a little bit of that in their house. So we went out and we clipped a few of the branches and brought them in. And for a few days, even a week, it made our dining room look a lot better to bring that beauty in. But you know what happens. You clip them from the branch, they only last a certain time. They are no longer in the tree or the bush, and so they wither. My children love to pick flowers. They love the dandelions. As I cut grass, they run out before I do to pick as many as they can. And it's wonderful. And it lasts about, I don't know, 20 minutes, half an hour before the dandelions start to wither and turn brown. We can see very clearly what Jesus is talking about here. If we abide in God, we bear fruit. If we cut ourselves off, and let us be clear, it is us who will cut ourselves off from God. If we do not abide in him, we will wither. There are still more meanings to share, and they eloquently describe what it means to abide with him and he with us. Another definition that we have is to put up with, tolerate, and stand. I will not abide this, you might say, or to put it positively. Usually we put it in the negative. I will not abide this insult, or I will not abide this rudeness. And clearly this describes Jesus abiding in us, because he is the one who has to put up with us. With our complaining, he has to abide. He has to abide our shortcomings. He has to abide with us, even when we fall, and we all will, and we all have. And he did so clearly with the disciples. And we know that if he abided with them, he will abide with us. Whatever our shortcomings are, whatever we make him put up with, we know he will. Next is to endure, sustain, withstand without yielding and submitting. And again, this is the Lord abiding with us. For the Lord abides a vigorous onslaught of sin and selfishness. He abides all that we throw at him, and yet he will not yield or submit because he wants us to yield and submit our will to him. There's no sin so great that he cannot wash it away with his grace. There is no crime so terrible that he will not forgive if we will but just turn to abide in him. No prodigal son can wander so far away from home that he won't be able to find his way back, and when he does, will not be welcomed back when he returns around, repents, and comes home. The Bible teaches us that again and again and again, but we try our best to forget. There is no sin that the Lord will not abide if we but forgive or but repent. The next definition works both ways. It's to wait for, to await. The example sentence the dictionary gives is to abide the coming of the Lord. And that's what we do. That's what we do at Advent time. And that's what we do the rest of the time in a different way. We must do this, but also we abide the coming of the kingdom. But Jesus abides us as well. He waits for us also. He waits for us to open our hearts. He waits for us to turn to him. He waits for us to understand that we are going the wrong way. He waits for us to know that we need him and he loves us. The Lord abides our conversion. Then we have to accept without opposition or question to abide the verdict of the judges. And this definition is clearly aimed for us. As Jesus calls us to abide in him, we are called to trust and obey, as the old hymn sings. For there is no other way than to abide in Jesus, but to trust and obey. For us to abide in Jesus Christ is for us to surrender our will, to trust that his ways are infinitely better than our own, that his wisdom is infinitely greater than our own, that where he leads us to go is better than any place we would go on our own. And of course that's hard. For each one of us, we all have our own desires. We are all stubborn in our own way. For each one of us, we must abide his verdict, abide his wisdom to accept without opposition that the words of Jesus Christ are better than our own. Now the final definition fits Christ completely, as it says simply, to suffer for. Of course he has suffered on our behalf. God's love for us was so great that he came into our world that we all may live. But in doing so, he came in our form. And even without the crucifixion and all the slings and arrows that he experienced, simply consider this. That if Jesus Christ is fully human and fully divine, if we believe that Jesus Christ is the embodiment, the physical manifestation, the incarnation of God in this world, to go from being the maker of heaven and earth to be infinite in every way and to put himself in our bodies, with our shortcomings and limitations, with our desires and drives that distract us from things of the Spirit, with the pains and the sufferings we know. Just that alone was to suffer. If Jesus had come into this world and simply lived for 30 years and then ascended into heaven, that in and of itself was a sacrifice on God's behalf. I'm sorry, a sacrifice on God's part for our behalf. Yet nothing was insufferable for God. If it meant helping those who were lost find their way back home, nothing was too much, even death upon the cross. If it meant inspiring the faith that saves, there was nothing that the Lord would not abide for our sake to teach us to abide in him. If you didn't before, you can see now why it is that we begin our church year. Our church year begins in Advent, and we begin it by singing O Little Town of Bethlehem. In that song, we sing, come to us, abide with us, our Lord Emmanuel. And then we conclude the Easter season with Christ assuring us that he abides in us, and therefore we must abide in him. It is such a good and perfect word. So many meanings, and they all encapsulate the heart of the gospel message for us. Jesus won't come and go as he pleases. He won't be with us for a bit and then take off. He won't come once and never again, or he came 2,000 years ago and is gone. The Lord will abide to dwell. He will live. He will reside in our hearts. That is what having the Spirit is like. That is what life in the Spirit is. And we teach our our children about Jesus living in our hearts, because it's the simplest way we can think to explain it, but sometimes we don't fully even understand what that metaphor means. But another way to say it is that the Lord abides with us in all times, in all places, whatever we are doing, however we are feeling, God is with us. And he calls us to abide in him. To remember that, to know that, to rest in his spirit on the good days and the bad, in the sunshine and the rain, on the mountaintop and the valley and all in between. For when we are in the spirit, when our hearts are attuned to God, we are not simply biding our time. If we are living that way, we are abiding our time, making the most of it, enjoying it, figuring out what God has to teach us in this moment, recognizing this moment as a gift, making what is otherwise an ordinary, everyday moment a transcendent moment, because we are aware of all that is around us, and from this will come the fruits that Jesus spoke of, the fruits that we are to bear, the good fruits of kindness, gentleness, compassion, mercy, the fruits of love. Those fruits only come from the nourishment of our roots, if we are rooted in Jesus Christ. As we move from Easter to Pentecost, as we celebrate that Christ is with us always, we should make it a point to be with him more. The Lord abides with us. And I don't know about you, but I take comfort in that. Let us abide in him. Amen. Now the community comes together at the Lord's table. All believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, regardless of membership in this congregation, are invited to receive the bread of life and the cup of forgiveness. Please take the emblems as they are passed and partake as best suits your meditation. Our communion hymn this morning is number 161, Breathe on Me, Breath of God. Number 161, let us sing together. This is a good time of year for picking flowers, and you may have some in your yard, and as they're getting older, you may pick them before they get too old. But soon the wildflowers just start popping up everywhere, and it's as if these gifts that God gives us to brighten our day as we drive across the highways or drive along the road. And we may pick them. Maybe next week you pick some and you give them to your mom or your wife. Maybe you take them home to put them on your table to brighten up your day, but you know what will happen. You know the problem being that you pick it because of their beauty, but you know in a few days or so, they're going to be done. And you know also that once you pick them, there's no going back. I remember when my son was 3 years old, about maybe not even quite three, we went outside and the leaves had started falling off the tree and he was really upset. And he grabbed them and he kept trying to put them back on because the tree had lost its leaves. It was pretty cute, but as you can imagine, it was a futile effort. Once those leaves off, there's no putting them back on. And as we read the scripture today that Jesus Christ gives us, we know the truth of that. From what we have seen, we know that once the branch is removed from the tree or the bush, once the flower is picked from its roots, the beauty will last for a while, but once it's gone, and there's no putting it back. And so we learn that lesson, that if we are not rooted in Christ, if we do not abide in Him, we will begin to suffer. Our lives will not be as good. But there is one important difference. Because we must always know that Jesus gives us these teachings to teach us, but He also gives them to us to give us hope. There is always good news in His teachings, because the important difference is that for us, whenever we have not abided in Him, whenever we are found ourselves not rooted in Christ, whenever we find that we, as the branch, have removed ourselves from the bush, we can be reconnected. In the membership class that I've been teaching these last couple weeks, I've been teaching the kids about the church as a tree, teaching them that they would be part of the tree as a family tree, or however you want to think of it. In each denomination, each church is a branch on the tree, and they will get to put themselves upon that. Well, we as Christians know that whenever we have fallen off, whenever we have separated ourselves, whatever we have done in our life, Christ is there. He doesn't go anywhere. He doesn't run. He doesn't hide. He is there, abiding His time, waiting for us to put ourselves back onto that tree, to be literally remembered as we take our place again in the membership of that family. And we know that that is the case because He taught His disciples that. He taught them that on what we call the Last Supper, knowing that what they would do to separate themselves from Him and still offering them that grace, that even though they did that, even though one betrayed and many abandoned, even though even some denied, His grace was sufficient that they may once again reconnect. Like a branch that has fallen from a tree but now is new and whole again, they may reconnect and receive that Spirit, and they may bear good fruit. And indeed, they bore the church. And the same is true for us. As we share in the meal this morning, let us give thanks for this wonderful grace. Let us confess the ways in which we have separated ourselves from Christ, but let us, in addition to asking for forgiveness, give thanks for the great, wonderful mercy that He offers us, that we may always be able to reconnect with Him physically, spiritually, eternally. Now this morning, let us pray.
Heavenly Father, as we come here today, we are especially grateful for surprises that we've received this week. I've always wanted a dogwood tree, and for 24 years I've lived in this home, and always wanted a pink dogwood tree out front. Last week, I parked in the carport improperly, and I couldn't even get back in. So my husband said, I'll pull out, and you climb in later. So I did, before I got to climb back in, I looked to the side of the carport, and lo and behold, a little tree that was growing between two slabs of concrete, defying everything, law of nature, had bloomed, and it was a dogwood tree. So for 24 years, that tree I wanted was right there in front of me. So I have to thank God, not only for everything He's blessed me with, but for all the surprises I haven't even noticed yet. In Jesus' name, thank you.
For I hand on to you, it was also handed on to me. Then on the night the Lord Jesus Christ was betrayed, He took the bread. And after He blessed it, He broke it and said, this is my body that is broken for you. Eat this as often as you do in remembrance of me. In the same manner, He took the cup. After he blessed it, he poured it out. He said, this cup is the new covenant of my blood that is poured out for you. Drink this as often as you do in remembrance of me. For as often as you eat of the bread and drink of the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes. Now the community responds to the word of God. If you wish to accept Christ as your Savior, rededicate your life to God, or transfer into the fellowship of this congregation, we invite you to come forward as we sing. Our invitational hymn is number 500 in the brown hymnal, Abide With Me. We'll sing verses 1 and 5. Let us stand.
Now let's bow our heads with a benediction. Go into the world as the people of God, sharing the fruits of love that you have received from God in the abundant grace of the Holy Spirit through Jesus Christ our Lord, who abides with us and abides in us this day and every day forevermore. Amen.